What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Lone Wolf X, Stocks and Jacks. Out time out. Ricky on the board. SP Futures are up. We have the S&P Futures are down 75 cents. Not much there. And NASDAQ Futures up 22. So we're, before the election here, we're kind of looking like we're, of course, we do have labor numbers on Friday. So we have a big week here, even before the election. But everybody seems like they're waiting here. We were up yesterday and kind of limped around. But then ended up finishing up a little, well, I'll tell you exactly if I'm going to say something. S&P ended up 15, NASDAQ up 48. So we continue to creep up for the election. I think we have, where the Fed's going with this. They're putting more money in the system and reinflating. We're not sure why. Well, we do know why, because nobody wants the wealth bubble to drop. We'll see how that all goes. We have Carl.
Chief, morning. I don't see anybody in the meeting just yet, man.
Well, why don't you try and track Carl down? Otherwise, we'll talk a little bit.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. We text him, but he helped me out yesterday because I get this notification that my Social Security number,
yes sir,
is in the dark web.
In the dark web?
Yeah.
It's like a text message you got, or was it like an email?
No, I actually have a Discover credit cards watches that for you, which is interesting.
I feel like at this point, like most people's information is out there somewhere.
Somebody's
making money off of it, you know?
Well, I don't know if they are or they aren't, but I mean, it's...
How many scam calls do you get a day?
Actually, I don't get that many, but the issue was, you know, what's it doing? Is anybody using it? But Carl mentioned a while ago that we had a huge breach. Well, he didn't mention it. He reminded me that we had a huge breach about 6 months ago, and evidently that's when a lot of this stuff happened.
Oh yeah. I heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? That should have been like insane news, you know, but it's like everything else, it just kind of passes by.
Well, what can you do about it? You know, the news
I
is
guess so.
We used to have saying on the trading floor, with information coming at you so fast, you can't take a drink through a fire hydrant.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, right.
But sure enough, Carl says, "Well, send me your Social Security number. I'll see if I can find it." like two minutes, he finds it.
Really?
Yeah, all my old addresses, you know, those kinds of things, and nothing crazy, just your old addresses and stuff like that.
Right.
From like a long time ago. I mean, we're talking 40 years.
What people, so it's like it's just like a record of everything you've ever done ever.
Well, just addresses. I got one day from somebody who, this is a few years ago. He had a record of every place I ever lived, and it went back to every school I went to, back to grammar school, and every car I ever owned.
Really? Oh, wow!
Now there's no way you get. Who would ever even have any of that stuff except the Secretary of State?
Yeah.
I mean, how would they know I owned a 65 Oldsmobile, for God's sake? who would know that, except for them?
Yeah.
No, and I can't imagine they keep records that long, but evidently they must. I mean, I don't honestly, who else would be the storehouse of this? Yeah. We're talking about records back in the day when storage was, you know, in paper.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know, who would even, why would anybody, if you were the Secretary of State, why would you even transfer that to you know, anything that anybody could get at? But who cares if I owned it, you know?
Yeah, do you think there's anything that's ever going to come of it, you know? Or is it just like...
I don't know what people do with that information.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea. I just...
It's so strange, honestly, to me that, yeah. It's just keeping so much of a you know, what do you call it, of a record of like a person's purchases and stuff. I don't know. It's I don't think it's really like that where I'm from, you know? It's not that... That I guess formal.
Well, it costs money to keep records.
Yeah,
yeah. If you go get your records, I did this. I was gonna get my Irish citizenship, which I never got, but I did manage to get a lot of the stuff. If you go back, I mean, in some of the every county in Ireland has records going back, you know, God knows how many years, I mean, centuries. And if you go to the churches over there, they'll have a record of everybody who was baptized. But it's all kept, you know, somewhere, paper, you know, box after box after box. And you know that the decade or the year, they'll pull out that box. And, I mean, you know, you could always... But what would possess somebody to go in there and say, okay, we're putting all this stuff, like, online from, you know, 200 years ago? I mean, I could see it maybe for ancestry stuff, you know, for people maybe care about that stuff. But
yeah.
But who the hell cares what car I owned in 1970? I mean, you know, I mean, really?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, one of the many inefficiencies that apparently, you know, plague this government, you know?
Or if you're going to put it online, you just put it all online. I don't know. But, I mean... I mean, I can't imagine if I called the Secretary of State and said, give me a record of everything I ever did with you guys. I mean, I can't believe them coming up with it. Yeah, it must be there if somebody else can find it, which is, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a, I don't know if you ever, hopefully you don't bump into this, but if you have a, I'm not saying nobody your age, but you have any uncles or whatever that, if for whatever reason, you know, get divorced or something, and then one accuses the other one of messing around with somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think when the toll road went with the Easy Pass, you know, now you can't even pay cash there. I don't know what the story is with that. They didn't bring anybody back after COVID, but the Easy Pass was the idea. I mean, you pay for it in advance, right? So there's no way they can get screwed on the deal. I mean, they're going to get paid. They already got your dough.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I believe that the deal was like 3 or 6 months they were supposed to destroy that data, because who cares?
Like...
You know, it was unavailable, and yet I've heard stories from divorce attorneys that in a significant percentage of divorce cases, they subpoena and find out where people have been. So you find out that, you know, Uncle Ricky's been driving out to Huntley, Illinois every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock because he's got some bimbo out there or something. They look at those records that aren't supposed to be there, yet they are.
Wow.
You know, and I don't think you could ever tell government to get away... Somebody will put it on a thumb drive somewhere and take it home.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why it would be online and what purpose it really serves. Honestly, it's such a mystery to me. Honestly, I think feel like that's yeah.
Because if there's information around, people will use it for something. Information is power.
Right. You know? Let me ask you something, because I've been now that I have this time, right? I've been, you know, reading, doing my research about the elections and such, and a lot of people are talking about the polls, the election polls, but I don't know what this is about. Like, some people just deny the credibility of these polls. Some people are saying that, okay, that is a really good, I guess, reflection of what the elections are going to be like, but, like, how does this work? I mean, have you ever done one of these polls?
Not a lot, but some random sampling, which is really what you're talking about in a poll. Random sampling theory when I was in grad school. Little bit in undergrad. But it has to do with, okay, if 500 people lived in a town and they all could vote for mayor, say,
mm-hmm.
The perfect way to do it is, if everybody was honest, there's a big if, you would go to every one of those 500 people and say, hey, Joe, who the hell are you going to vote for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting for Ricky. Nah, I can't stand that Ricky guy. You know, so whatever it is, then you total it all up. But you don't want to do that. You can't do that. You don't have the money for it. So you say, all right, how can I get a look at smaller number of people and get the same result? So now you sit there and go, okay, who are not just the 500 people in town. Now you got to figure, does everybody really vote?
You know,
somebody maybe hasn't gotten off their dead ass and voted, or doesn't want to, or doesn't care in 30 years. All right, so now that person, are they a likely voter? The answer is no. So, okay, now you got to figure out who are your likely voters, which is difficult to do. All right, so then you say, okay, now we got 400 likely voters. The last five elections, 400 people have showed up. Might not always be the same 400, but you somehow or another you figure out the names of these people. Now you say, okay, I really only want to talk to 40 of them and get the same result as if I talked to all of them. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now you're going to say, all right, how the hell am I going to do that? Well, I have to figure out which are the 40. Now, how do I get the 40? The 40 is you need to take them randomly. You can't just say, I'll go to the post office or the local diner, and the first 40 to come in the morning, I'll pull those people, and I'll just assume that's the whole... because you can't assume that the people who get up at 6 o'clock have the same point of view as the people who sleep till noon. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is, in my day, there's books that would have a random number table in there. So you would just pick out a piece at a random number table, and you'd say, okay, out of 500 people, I need, you know, 3 digits under 500. Okay, so I need person 152, I need person 12, I need person... So I've got them all on a list. So I need these 40 people in order for this to be random.
Yeah.
So if I go out to Ricky's house, and Ricky's not home, he's at work, and the guy next door is sitting there drinking a beer on the porch, I can't just say, well, this guy's good enough, because there's probably a big difference between, maybe, maybe not, the point of views of somebody who's working and somebody sitting on a porch drinking a beer at noon. So yeah. you can't just take the person next door.
Okay.
So the idea is, if you get all 40 of those people randomly done, in theory, and actually in practice, the survey is going to be pretty damn good as to what is if you would have went and got all 400. Right? Not perfect, but I'm going to say, if you actually could do that, I'd be right with you. All right?
Right.
So now all of a sudden, now you've got the idea of who are the likely voters. What if you had 100 people, for whatever reason, just became of age, or the election's something everybody cares about? Suppose you get another 100 new voters that have never voted before. Well, how are you going to survey those people? You don't know. I mean, you don't. Maybe you don't even know who they are. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. That's what happened in the Brexit. They polled and polled and polled, and they didn't realize it, like, I don't know how many million, 2 million people or something that hadn't voted in like 2 decades came out and voted because they felt so strongly about the decade and don't care about regular elections.
Right.
So now you've got that point of view. So when you see something about 1,000 likely voters nationwide, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. how the hell did you do that? Plus, how do you find people today? You could call them on the phone, and people, I'm not going to talk for everybody because I'm not everybody, but people, even me, if you had a landline and a pollster called, you're probably a little more likely to say something, a little more likely, than if somebody calls on your cell phone when you're in a meeting at work. Mm-hmm. You know, cell phones seem to be more, to me, they're more intrusive than a landline. I don't know why, but I think a lot of people feel that way. I'm not sure everybody feels that way, but so now you're sitting there going, do I have the right people? Are they really likely voters? Am I missing likely voters? That sorts of thing. Now, these polls today, I don't even know how the hell you start doing it, to be honest with you. So, and if I can't get some kind of a theoretical construct of the right way to do it, and people just lob these numbers at me, I sort of can't believe them. You know what
I'm saying? Right. It's just, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, it's not reliable, right?
Well, but then there's accusations. Of course, there's accusations everywhere.
Yeah.
That the Trump group is putting all these polls out there saying he's slightly ahead. So if he loses, then that's going to be the basis of his it had to be rigged type of thing.
Oh, yeah, because he says because
here
that,
I'm ahead everywhere, and all of a sudden I get my ass kicked. Well, there must be fraud because look at the poll, what the poll said. Well, okay, fine. You know, there's a very good analogy, and it's funny how people. I'm actually kind of happy to answer this question. It's funny how people think. And Kenny was talking last week, and Kenny will be on today, I hope. He's talking about how the gamblers got it wrong on the Brexit. Again, I'm sure Kenny knows an awful lot about gambling, but when you talk about betting like that, betting on a baseball game, betting on a horse, betting on those kinds of things, the gamblers, they don't set the rate. All right, they, for instance, pro football, anybody who used to go to Vegas remembers the Stardust Hotel. The Stardust was owned by the Illinois mob, basically. And,
wow.
And they were the ones, if you watch Crime Story, that's essentially the Tony Spilotro story. Tony Spilotro was a Chicago mobster that was, in his own way, brilliant. Crime Story, with, what was the name of the guy, Dennis Farina?
And a couple other people. Anthony, oh yeah, Dennis Farina, Anthony Dennison.
So what Tony Spilotro essentially did is he brought sports gaming to Vegas so all the bookies in the country could essentially lay off their odds. So if Ricky goes to the local saloon, you know, 25 years ago or 10 years ago, before there was all this online betting, and you want to put money down on the Bears, he'd put 100 on the Bears, 50 on the Bears. A guy like you'd put 1,000 on the Bears or somebody. So now the saloon keeper in every town you're in probably has more money on the, coming in on the Bears than he has on Detroit. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's got 50,000 matched off Bears versus Lions, in which case he's a winner because he's going to get a 5% of the VIG, right? He's going to get 10% of the winner.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's another 50,000 that's all Bears, he can either decide to keep that bet, in which case he becomes a gambler instead of a bookie, or he can lay that bet off. He can go to another bookie, and what Vegas did was they said, okay, send your 50 out here, make the bet here, so you know you're going to make your 5,000 bucks on the 50, the two 50s, but the other 50 you have no risk on because essentially you've got the bet out here. If you win, you win, you lose, you lose, but you're okay with it. You essentially transfer the bet to another person.
Right.
So the it's actually something like trading in the sense that if I have a client that has a concentration issue and they got 5,000 shares of Nike or something, and I go out and buy 50 puts to protect the downside because of concentration or whatever, the person just doesn't want that kind of risk, I'm essentially transferring the risk to that person who's selling me the insurance. And
right.
Somebody's willing to do that for a price. Okay, so but if you look at the gambling aspect of it, that the Stardust would come out on a Sunday night with the lines for next week, and they'd say the Bears are 4-point favorites. If all of a sudden all the money piles in on the Bears, they're immediately going to become 5-point favorites.
Right.
Because the idea of a bookie and the idea of a market maker on the floor is really the same. You want to set the price in a market maker on the floor, which I used to be. Let's look at the McDonald's trading 291. Well, there's going to be a market on the 293 calls. And that market might be, well, in old days, that might be 5 to an eighth. Well, now it's 5 to 520 or something, or 5 to 510. I'll buy them at 5, I'll sell them at 510. And if somebody comes in and says, I'll buy them at 510, I'll go, okay. And he says, what's your market now? And I might say 510, 520. I'll buy them at 520. Okay, so at some point, you reach a spot where you hope when every time the phone rings showing my age or the thing clicks, half the people are buying and half the people are selling. So I'm buying them at 5, I'm selling them at 520 all day long. One guy goes, I'll sell you 50 at 5, okay. The other guy says, I'll buy 50 at 5, okay. So what did I just do? I just made $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do. So a bookie's the same way. So the bookie doesn't exactly... So it follows that in London, that if the Brexit polls were wrong and said that the Brexit was going to win, that they were going to actually leave, or that they were going to stay, not leave, the money is going to be on stay, right? Because everybody mm-hmm. believes the polls are right. So in other words, if the polls all come out and say Trump's ahead by 5%, you can guarantee that the gambling is going to be Trump's ahead by 5%.
Uh-huh.
Because the people who believe, the people are setting the lines. It's not like some gambler is going to say, oh no, I think Trump's going to lose and I'll take all comers. That's not what they do. Nobody's dumb enough to do that.
Right, right, right.
But I'm not dumb enough as a trader, I hope, to sit there, my market's 5 to 520, and 50 people in a row are looking to buy it at 520, and I'm not stupid enough to raise my price, I hope. I mean, hopefully at the end of 20 minutes, it might be 580 to 6 bucks until... I just set my first price wrong, but I'm going to move it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way. So you have to be careful when people blame, oh, the gamblers were all wrong. The people who believe the polls and bet because of that were wrong because they believe the polls or something.
Right.
There's
right.
always something that causes the thing before. You know, and that's why when you listen to this stuff and you've been involved this your whole life and you realize there's kind of there's a progression here of stuff. And you hear people talk about, oh man, the gamblers are wrong. Well, the people who put their bets down, they came in on the side of Brexit staying, and they probably because they believed the wrong people essentially, or they didn't sample the people that they would never have sampled. I mean, would you have gone down the block to the grumpy old guy who hasn't voted in 20 years and asked him his opinion? Why would you?
Yeah, right. No, it doesn't really make sense, right?
No, but I mean, right now, I mean, when you look at this election. And again, I'm not making a call, but my suspicion is that there seems to be an awful lot of people that have signed up this year. And I read, you know, 376,000 in the last, I don't know how many days.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
Chief, does this seem like a particularly, I guess, stress-inducing election?
Without
does
a doubt.
This seem like
without
a,
yeah? doubt. Without a doubt. It's worse than any I've ever seen.
Really?
I mean, when you look at, you know, going back to Nixon and Kennedy.
Yes.
I mean, the two guys were friends. They were both, I mean, there were differences between the Republicans and the Democrats, but there was nothing this heightened stuff like now. It doesn't,
yeah.
It's not as personal. There was no abortion issue. There was no woke issue. There was no, you know, guys playing on girls' basketball teams. It's stuff that, you know, some people get really fired up with. There was none of that stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing, like, those past, you know, presidential debates that they would show on TV and everything, and you would hear everybody just paying compliments to each other, you know.
Yeah.
My opponent is not my enemy. We have the same goal. We just have different ways to get in that kind of stuff they were saying, right?
Yeah.
And then it seems like, I guess, do you think it started with Trump, you know, the fact that he's maybe...
No, it's been kind of pushing that way, but it was a different society. I mean it's not, wasn't like... You know, it certainly wasn't perfect. God help you if you got sick. I mean, the most people didn't have their teeth because all the dentists did. I mean, it wasn't a great time to be alive physically, but, you know, there was way more pollution. People didn't know that certain chemicals harmed you, so they were all over the place in factories and stuff. People died young, but it's so it wasn't. I mean, it's not talking Andy and Mayberry type of thing, but in terms of an awful lot of people pulled together to fight World War II. A lot of people had common family members that died, were wounded. I mean, my family had somebody who died.
Hey, sorry to hear that. Yeah.
But, you know, if you, you know, you went into Pullman's plant, the manager didn't think he was that far above the other people and wasn't paid accordingly. He maybe was made, the president of the company maybe made 10 times as much as somebody in the place. And if he walked out and saw some welder there, he had respect for the guy because the guy might have been a destroyer captain or something
right.
in World War II, and not a guy to mess with. So everybody had this kind of, and if not, the people at home were, I remember the lady who was the assistant to PCW-1 at Pullman's plant in Pullman. There was, the other one was in Hammond, PCW-2. What the hell was Ellen? Eleanor?
I don't know.
She was 5'3", 5'4", 110 pounds on a bad day, and she was a welder. During the war, I mean, you didn't mess with her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, plus, she was the nicest person you ever met.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody had this sense of we all sort of did this incredible thing together. So, I mean, you're going to get, you know, I mean, how much crap are you going to give Bob Dole when the guy's got shrapnel in his face from the war?
Yeah.
And he's a good guy. I mean, he may be, his politics might be different than yours, but why would you give the guy personal crap? There was none of this insults like Trump does to people.
Mm-hmm.
And his people love it. Oh, I love, you know, insult the person. Nobody insulted anybody.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't get to be, whoever you are, you don't get to be a senator or something like that without being, you would think, at least somewhat of a serious person of some kind. It's not somebody you just sit out there and start insulting.
Yeah, you definitely have to be a little more level-headed than Trump, I would say. You know, I mean, he's not... Yeah, he doesn't seem to be that in control of his emotions, I guess, or at least based on what I've seen in, like, the debates and stuff, you know, it seems like he was a little emotional, you know, he got a little emotional at some point. Can I ask you, though, do you think it's, what do you think of you know, Kamala's interviews and Kamala's work
well,
in,
I mean,
in the media?
Well, I mean, she's somebody, we have, somehow we've got this combination of, okay, I'll say it. Like if I was a professor or something.
All right.
The skill set that you need to get the job as president now is probably not necessarily the skill set you want in the job.
Uh-huh.
I mean, could we find two more qualified people than these two? I think we could find them in a local bar, you know, but... but the point is, they're not willing to do... They didn't have the TV set where people love the Trump's "You're Fired" show. You know, here's a guy in charge, and you know he's gonna kick ass on everybody else. He's gonna he's going to fire everybody in Washington. You know, he's going to do all this stuff. Okay, you know, maybe, and maybe we need somebody with that mentality. But also, you have to realize, you know, you catch more flies with honey than you do with a sledgehammer, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, does he have the ability to pull it off? Well, he was in there once. I don't think he did that good of a job. Now, COVID messed him up, without a doubt. He handled that horribly. Maybe somebody else would handle it just as horribly. Now you've got Kamala Harris. I mean, you wouldn't. She's appears to have her heart in the right direction. She's never really held a job other than government that I could see. I don't know. Right. I've been reports. You know, don't if somebody says, okay, she worked for this law firm someplace, you got me. But doesn't look like she's ever written a paycheck or owned her own business. Knows what that side of the coin is.
Mm-hmm.
So out of 1,000 people, would I say, wow, she looks to me like the next president? No. Mm-hmm. Obama was the same way. I mean, what was he, a community organizer? What is that even a job? I mean, he taught.
Right.
I mean, he taught.
I wasn't here by then, but do you think he did an okay job, Obama?
I think when he got in, he didn't do hardly anything. He did the Obamacare thing, which his lack of attention to detail screwed it up totally. Mm-hmm. I don't think he worked that hard. You know, I mean, you read something about some of these old leaders where they're talking, you know, guys read a Victorian novel a day and reports. None of these guys, he played basketball.
Right.
You know. Anyway, so we have to go to break here, and then we're going to bring out, hopefully we have Joel.
Yeah.
S&P futures down 650, NASDAQ futures down 4. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. As you all know, the broad markets, especially tech, have been hot for a while. Lots of reasons. New technology, small fixed income returns, a lot of Fed cash, maybe some good management. Recently, however, the rates on fixed income investments, even U.S. Treasury, have risen from the very low levels. Treasuries are more attractive. There might even be some interesting bonds out there. Also, the bull run has some leading stocks with historically high valuations, maybe making long-only positions a little riskier. So what to do? I think the answer is flexibility. The market may keep going higher. It may not. It could even go down. Is fixed income a thought for some part of the portfolio? Rates are not zero anymore. You may want to protect some gains, think about some rebalancing, address some growing concentration issues, maybe thinking about commodities. We at PTI may have a solution just right for you. Open an account at PTI Pro Direct, PTI's online trading platform using the Interactive Broker high-end platform. There you will find competitive rates and solid execution across all product lines and traditionally high interest on money balances. In addition, at any time you can seamlessly decide for fixed income investments to access Dan Janitas at Kratos Capital for management services. Dan and his team work tirelessly to achieve the highest returns they can, whatever risk category you are comfortable with. You can also quickly access my team for investment services and a wide array of investment strategies on the security or commodity side, protective strategies, concentration issues, or straight long. In one place, you'll be able to be flexible and ride whatever the future market holds with people you are used to hearing and trusting every day. Need help? You got it. Don't need help? That's okay, too. You'll have a great self-management platform with help always available. This market can change on a dime. I believe, like everyone else, having the right people there if needed is the way to go. Call me at 312-663-4310 or email me at time@ptisecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. My own name I'll get here in a second. S&P futures down 675. NASDAQ futures down 475. Dow's down 118. Let's see if we can find a culprit in the Dow. And there it is. McDonald's came out with earnings. Actually, revenue was up a little bit, but down stocks down 980. So there it is. That's 980 would be, I think it's around 70 the multiplier. So let's call it 10 bucks. So that's $70 in the Dow futures right there into one stock. We've got Boeing down 239. Boeing, man, I'll tell you what, Home Depot down 360. Maybe we'll talk a little bit with Lou on Thursday. Where exactly is this Boeing going? I mean, it's some massive company here. We let them combine into basically one aerospace firm here for commercial for sure. And now all of a sudden these guys can't get out of their own way. don't know what the end game is on that. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 48.2. I think these guys were down only yesterday. FTSE up 7, call that flat. CAC around up 21.3, so mildly up over there. HSBC shares are up 4.5%. That's and I think they're buying back, of course, buying back more stock. I mean, all we do is buy back stock, and I don't know if that's a solution to anything. But, matter of fact, it used to be illegal. Nikkei up 298.8%. Hang Seng up 101.5%. Shanghai down 35. That's 1.1%. So, again, we've got, can't seem to get these Asian stocks going in the right direction. Plus, you don't usually get Hang Seng going the other way than the ones on the continent. But today we are. Again, yesterday, S&P was up 15. NASDAQ up 48. We have bonds up 2 basis points, 4.30. This is a relentless move to the upside here. The Bund up 3 basis points, 2.32. Japan up 2 to 0.99. Okay, so we're getting, can't get much closer to that 1%. Oil, which was down huge yesterday, is making a little bit of a comeback. Up $1.10, 68.48. Brent up $1.15, 72.57. Natural gas down 8 cents, 2.22. RBOB up 2 cents to 1.99. We have gold up 4.50, 27.60. It's kind of hanging right by highs here. Doesn't look like it's going to make it to 2,800, but doesn't want to go down either. Silver up 27 cents, 34.27. Copper up 5 cents, 4.41. We've got foreign exchange. Dollar 108 against the Europe. Euro, and it's at 129.9 against the British pound, again, weaker than it, stronger than it has been. We have Bitcoin up 1,800, 71,470. It's over 70,000 for the first time since June. We'll see what happens with the election and other stuff there. Whatever, I'm not a big Bitcoin day, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind owning some. All times go up every day. What do you have for me? Traffic, weather, sports.
Morning, Chief. It's currently 6:36 a.m. here in beautiful Chicago. 67 degrees right now with a high of 80 degrees. Clouds breaking. Windy with the temperature breaking the record of 78 in October. There will be a high fire risk. And holiday decorations might blow away if you don't secure them properly. Over to Phoenix, Arizona, we got 67 degrees as well. With a high of, give me 1 second, high of 75, mostly sunny and cooler. The start of a stretch of noticeably cooler weather. So now we'll be clear with a low of 54 degrees. On the traffic in Chicago, we got inbound Kennedy from Monroe's, 26 minutes. We're looking at 48 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lane Cook. Inbound Eisenhower from Wolf, 31 minutes. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 21 minutes. And Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan is another 27 minutes. Lastly, sports. The NFL this Thursday, October 31st, we got the Texans playing the Jets at 7:15. And this Sunday, we have the Bears playing the Cardinals as well. And lastly, the MLB World Series Game 3, the Dodgers beat the Yankees 4-2. And that's all I got for you right now, Chief.
I don't know how the Yankees are doing so hot. Do we have Joel?
Yes, yeah, good morning, Chief.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well here. Yeah, it looks like the Dodgers are going to get the broom out. It's about time. First time since, I believe, 1988. But, hey, you pay the big money, you get the big players. So, can't say I'm really a fan of either team.
No. What is, boy, is Aaron Judge had a clunk of a series, huh? Guy's a good ball player.
Yeah, and Shohei Ohtani is not having, you know, it's, I don't know. I haven't caught much of it. My Motor City Kitties got knocked out by Cleveland, and Cleveland, you know, they got swept by the Yankees. So, hate to see what the Tigers would have done. But football season now, Chief. We talk sports. Let's talk football.
Well, you've got my guys, the Bear fiasco on Sunday, and I don't see they got a record. I said they were going to be 4-0. Whatever, you know, me being the, because all my buddies are Bear fans, and they were all 10-7, and I go, you guys, so of course, just be the opposite. I took the other side because I don't think they're that good, and they had two nice games against teams that weren't very good, and now they lose one that they, you know, maybe could have won. Although, to be honest with you, if you watch the whole game, they were totally outplayed the whole game except for like the last couple minutes. So if they would have won, the Guardians are like, what the hell did we do? We did all the movement and everything else and just couldn't get in the end zone. All of a sudden, you know, they had a play call back. They had a touchdown call back. So, I mean, they outplayed the Bears the whole way. But of course, no Bear fan's going to remember that. But I don't see them. They've got to play the Pats. I think they can beat the Pats, maybe the Cardinals. Other than that, they're playing Detroit twice. I don't see them beating them. I don't see them beating Minnesota. I don't see them Green Bay. That's six games.
Ah, boy, I mean, this league is so up and down. Also, with a first year quarterback, you know, for me, just the Lions. I mean, I'm just so giddy about the offense. I don't think I've ever seen an offense as good as the Lions. Just losing that Aiden Hutchinson. They haven't had a sack in two games. Two games you haven't had a sack. That's not going to win you many games down the stretch here. I'm hoping they pull a trigger on a trade, maybe get Myles Garrett. I guess that guy from Oakland doesn't want, or the Raiders, Las Vegas, wherever the hell they are. He doesn't want to leave. So, man, as optimistic as I am about the offense, it's just I'm worried about that defense. That Aiden Hutchinson loss was huge.
Well, he's what you call a difference maker. You know, and any time you play any kind of sports, even if it's neighborhood softball, you sit there and go, here's the guy I got to get on the other team. The rest of the guys are okay, but there's one guy who's a little bit better than okay. There's somebody
he was leading the league in sacks and on his way to MVP. It was also, you know, within reach of Michael Strahan's, sack record.
But he's somebody you have to account for on every play with more than one person.
Exactly.
You know, it's people. You know, football can get complicated with all the different coverages and all the other kind of reads and things, but bottom line is, if you've got, like, line play, if you've got you got five guys on offense, four guys on defense, usually. Now, some people play a 3-4 and so forth. But now, if you've got one guy on your offensive line that can always handle his guy, now you're down to 4-on-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you got two guys like that, you're down to 3-on-2. You ought to be okay, even if the other three guys are mediocre, not if they're horrible. And the same thing on the defense. If two people have to touch him on every play, well, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem, right, for your offense. And, you know, I watch the Bears, and people say, God, you know, they're doing this and that, and they just throw deep. I said, look at the whole play. Don't look at just the ball. That's what they want you to do if you watch. Look at the whole play. You look at the teams like Kansas City and Detroit now, clearly the Eagles, especially when they had that center, Kelsey. The good teams can put, when they need to, four people in the pattern, which makes it very difficult to cover. The teams like the Bears can't do it because they can't block. They have a really good tight end. I bet he's in blocking 60% of the time, Joel. He's not doing any good blocking, is he?
Chief, man, you know you got that whole. I see you. I see you like as a coach doing those.
I used to coach seven man touch in a good league.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, you just draw that up. I was following that very closely, Chief. Do you want to talk markets here?
Yeah. What are we just gonna?
Gives a I don't want to say that word.
Well, we're creeping along here. We're seeing the Fed is in certainly not in a cut mode. So they're in a market-friendly mode. I don't know that the market is all of a sudden going to turn against that. So my bet is, I haven't sold any calls for anybody. You know, normally those people know that. I mean, I do a lot of specialized stuff for people. By the way, a lot of people don't think they need specialized stuff. I think should be doing specialized stuff, but that's another issue. But I've been laying off on the calls. But what I've been doing a little bit, Joel, is I'm getting a couple extra puts for people just in case we go the other way. But I'm not. Truncating the upside because I think they're going to keep putting money into the system, and I don't know what the election is going to do. I think we will survive no matter what the election is. I don't know if the market's going to like a month of fighting over who won. I mean, I don't know. I can't predict.
Oh, isn't it already over, Chief? Isn't it already been declared over? I mean, it's
by
not
who?
Even. By the prediction markets.
Who's the prediction market?
Oh, it's over, Chief. I'm telling you.
Who's supposed to win?
Oh, come on, Chief. You come on. You follow the prediction marks.
I follow the ones on one side. They say they're going to win. I follow the ones on the other side. They say they're going to win.
Well, look at Polymark. It's Polymarket's the one that's dominated by Bitcoin, and there's no U.S. users on it. The other one is predict.org. So, just go look what the prediction markets are predicting, and then you can form your own opinion.
Well, you know, I just did some work. Kenny mentioned that 2 weeks ago. You know, the gamblers were wrong on Brexit. That's my go-to spot for everybody being wrong on an election. and all the mistakes they made.
Okay. I mean, Chief, you're a contrarian. And,
no, what I'm saying is they interviewed one of the guys, one of the guys who ran one of the gambling places. He said, I don't set the line. People set the line. He said, the polls were wrong, and people bet based on the polls. So they were wrong, too. I wasn't wrong. I made my money. The guy goes, okay, then.
It'll be an interesting, it'll be interesting. I think that's the best way to put it. A week from today, I'll be on for a week to the day. I think there's going to be volatility in the election markets. Right now, the market is just docile. They pumped up the VIX a couple weeks ago, and, you know, it's kind of come down a little bit. I think we're going to be quiet until the election, and then, you know, after that we have some inflation data. As far as interest rates go, Chief, I didn't think they should have went a half. They did. I don't think they're going to do something a day after the election. And just the bond market. The bond market is trying to tell you something. So
it
that's
sure
where I'm at on the markets, Chief.
All right, buddy. Well, next Tuesday should be interesting. And then
it will be.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself.
Go Blue. I'll talk to you next week, Chief.
Do we have Kenny?
We do.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
I'm good. And I agree with him. The bond market is telling us something. People need to pay attention.
When's that going to happen?
I don't know, but it's going to happen pretty damn fast.
You know, you know what you made me do last week? You made me go read all about the Brexit.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
And?
Well, you said something about the gamblers were wrong.
Were they wrong that time?
Well, that's the one of the guys who runs, got an interview with him, runs one of the biggest gambling houses over there. And he said, well, he goes, I don't make the market. He goes, I'm the bookie. He goes, all the polls were wrong. People believe the polls. So the gambling follows the polls.
Right.
He says, the people were wrong because the polls were wrong. He goes, I made my dough. I don't care who won.
Right. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But in this case, the polls are saying one thing, but the betting markets are saying something different. The betting market is not following the polls. That's what's different this time.
Well, some they're following somebody.
Right. Right. Well, it's going to be interesting. We're going to find out. Look, not only the betting polls, but even yesterday, look what happened after that big rally in New York on Sunday. You had the crypto surge by 3%. You had Donald Trump, you know, Trump, his public stock there went up 19%. You had Rumble up 14%. Those are all proxies for what investors at this point think of what's going to happen, right? That's all indicative of a Trump win. Now, it could be wrong, too. I'm just saying it's just interesting.
Don't you think? It is interesting, and a lot of, I'm going to say, younger people, get into this. But where does, in your history of people, where does some guy running for president have a stock worth nothing that is trading under his name? Where does that show up? If you showed that to Eisenhower or Truman or Kennedy, where do you think that would show up?
Excuse me, I got a cold. But I know. I don't know where it shows up. I mean, it shows up because it's Donald Trump, right? That's why it shows up, because he made it happen. All I'm saying is that those three things, you know, crypto, because he's very crypto, he's bullish on crypto. He's very, you know, talk about loosening regulations and all that stuff. So that's bullish for crypto. And the fact that you had Rumble in his market up, you know, you had people that are betting on a Trump win. And if Trump wins, and that's expected, you know, those two, the Trump holdings as well as Rumble would be expected to go even higher. Now, I don't play in that field. I don't own those stocks. They're not in my wheelhouse. I don't really, you know, I'm not investing my money or investors' money on that at all. So I'm just observing from the outside on what the markets there are suggesting is going to happen, and how they mimic really the betting market. So maybe they're all wrong, but we're going to find out in a week.
I think when you look at your, and this is, it's not just one side, but the idea, one thing I'll say about the man is he knows how stupid people are.
Yeah.
Politicians generally do know that, right? I mean, they're pretty good at it. So every time you're in front of a group, he says he's going to give something to that group.
Yeah.
And the group believes it.
Yeah. But she says the same thing. She says she's going to get
I didn't say she didn't. My point is, that's what politicians do. They promise stuff to people. But anybody who thinks that he can get a hold of the tax code, which comes out of the House, by the way, and all of a sudden scrub waiters and bartenders out of the tax code as not having to pay, how does that even happen?
I don't know, but let's ask a question. But okay, that's fine, but ask the question. How did Joe Biden just dismiss $175 billion worth of student loans when the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that? But he did it anyway. So how does it happen? It just happens because by executive order, he struck his pen, he signed his name, and they dismissed
it. It may follow through, it may not. But this I think, Kenny, what's happening, and like I say, it's both sides. People are recognizing politicians. Somehow people like you and I or other people get through to the people in the limousine. How we do it, I don't know, whether it's through we zap them or something with something that goes through the tinted glass. Somehow these guys have figured out that people are hurting.
Yeah.
They have no concept on how to fix the thing for everybody. So they get every little group together and they say, okay, I'm going to do something for you. And depending on if the group is their voters, they do it. If they don't think they are, they don't. That is horse bleep government.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, there's
agreed,
no...
But that's what they all do.
But,
why are we still having this conversation? Because we all know that's what they do.
Well, I mean, we seem to have people taking it to extreme things. You know, and some of the stuff that people are promising. I mean, I interviewed one lady going to the Trump rally, and she goes, he's going to get rid of every one of these people that shouldn't be here taking all our money. And I'm going, if ever there isn't a big lie coming out there, there it is. Yeah. Now, I mean, come on. First of all, what are we talking about? Are we talking about 1930s showing up at people's houses with a van in the middle of the night and banging people out in their PJs like was done in Germany? Is that what we're talking about? I mean, what are we talking about? I hope not.
Yeah, right. I hope
not. I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, and what are people believing? What are they... What is their... I mean, Kamala Harris says... We're going to give everybody $50,000 or $25,000 for a mortgage. Well, at least both of them recognize that the policies of both of them over the last 8 years or the last 20 years has caused a massive problem in this country.
Yeah.
People cannot pay these student loan debts. Duh. I mean, some people, they're dead, and their aunt that signed the co-sign thing is on the hook for this stuff. I mean, it's insanity.
Well, that's right. So, but he's just going to wipe it away, right? Because that's
how this became.
Even though the Supreme Court said you can't do it, he did it anyway.
But why this can't go back to Congress and have both sides? Why are both parties on opposite sides of recognizing that people with the student loan debt are screwed? Why can't our government, our people, sit down together, even if you're one side of the aisle or the other, and say we got to figure out a way to fix this because these people are going nowhere. Because, by the way, under our we've just doubled the house prices in the last 10 years, and now we're expecting people to get $300,000 in student loan debt to buy a house. Well, that's not going to happen, Kenny.
Right. Agreed. Okay, so I would agree that maybe they should come together, but they're not even coming together, right? They're just on polar opposite ends of the scale. And I think, though, part of that is just because there's so much divisiveness in that one side. Honestly, I've never seen it like as bad as it is.
Never have either.
It's just split right down the middle. That they're not even going to cross the line to give you a cup of coffee. It's just unbelievable how divisive it is, and it's disgusting, quite honestly.
Well, situations that, I don't know how you, if one side's on one part of the thing, the other side's on the other. I mean, is there some moral problem with somebody who actually was able to pay off his student loan debt and somebody else getting forgiven on theirs?
It does become a moral problem because that the guy who paid it off saying to myself, well, I did it, why can't he do it, or why should I have to subsidize the fact that he can't do it?
Well, not everybody, you know, if life was fair, there'd be no blind people. Okay? I mean, what can I tell you? I mean, there are people that came out of law school and landed with the big firm and are making $650 an hour. There's other people who have a law school that are actually maybe helping criminals out that don't have $650 an hour to pay. I mean, I think it should be done evenly. in some way. There should be some way to say, look, we've charged too much interest. You know, for the last 20 years. And, oh, by the way, if you did pay yours off, you're getting a check because you paid too much. I mean, the idea of charging these people, what, for a while it was 6.5%?
Well, I don't know because I don't know what it was because I didn't.
Well, there used to be.
I paid off my student loan.
Well, there was somewhere along the line here, and Kevin probably knows more, but there would people would get a combination of the government and private. I think the government was like 3, 3.5, and the other one was like 6, 6.5. And then Obama, I think, took them all together. So he had up with one rate. So it hasn't been bad interest-wise since Obama was in there. Not, I'm not blaming that all on him, because obviously Congress helped him out on that, or he wouldn't be able to do it. But the idea that the people don't understand that this is a... You've created a society... I mean, the thing that frosts me about this whole thing, Kenny, to be the two worst presidencies in my lifetime were the last two.
Yeah.
And two people are running saying one was worse than the other.
Right, I know.
No representative of either one of these presidencies should be anywhere near the White House.
I hear you, which again, for me, brings up the argument when I look at the landscape, I go, honestly, this is the best we've got. This is the best the United States can put forward, these two, both sides.
Yeah.
As I say to my, I scratch my head, and I got to tell you, it's causing, I don't know about for you, but it's causing a lot of problems for families that are split down the middle, families that, you know, very, very divisive. Well, I'll tell you, me and my younger daughter, she is so far on the one side, and I'm kind of middle of the road to the right on the other side, but she cannot see it. She cannot see it at all.
Well,
so I don't talk politics.
I will say this, Kenny. The, I mean, you and I are, we're always somehow or another, got our pocketbook in the game, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, that's what we do. We have people that count on us. Our pocketbook has to be in the game. I sit once in a while in a bar where a lot of different people, different ages, are in there. And if Trump comes on TV and there's three girls sitting there, they almost throw up. I can't believe this creep is running for president.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to a lot of people, the man is just disgusting.
I hear you.
But I mean, you and I are going to look past that. I'm not even sure I'm going to vote yet. I might actually vote for the guy. I don't,
right.
I mean, I'm saying that doesn't mean that I have any appreciation for either of the people that are running.
100%.
But, I mean, there are people that say... But
you think I'm supporting him. I'm not supporting
him. No. And, you know, we have people that are on the show that no matter what he says, it doesn't matter. I got people texting me right now. No matter what he says, well, the other side does this. The other side, I don't care. I would never insult you because I don't want to insult you. It's wrong. Correct. It's no way for adults to talk to each other.
Correct.
Now, if you insult me back, that doesn't make it even.
Right.
it doesn't. I mean, why? Right now, no matter what the man says, there are people. It's just him. The other side made him do it. Something, something. I don't see how anybody gets that sort of love. I mean, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But every time, the thing of it is, though, I think, Kenny, and even to some of the people in there from the show, you can't assume everybody thinks that way.
Well, they don't.
Every time an insult goes out there, there might be somebody in this country who hasn't figured out who they're going to vote yet, or hasn't figured out if they're going to vote yet, and says, I can't take it anymore. That's the end of it. You know, Kamala says, I'm going to give everybody who wants to buy a house $25,000. Somebody goes, anybody who can't add like that can't be president, and they won't vote for it. You never know what's in somebody else's mind, right?
Right, but people think, she's going to give me $25,000. She's going to give me $25,000. That's all they think.
And some will think, anybody who doesn't have a calculator, it's like Bernie Sanders. I never questioned Bernie's heart. I questioned his addition.
Right.
I mean, right? It's not like I think Bernie wants to screw people. I just think the guy can't add. I mean, people in that position ought to be able to add. I mean, whatever. I don't even know where my opinion is on this stuff, Kenny, other than I think this whole mess is out of control. To be honest with you.
It's definitely out of control. But I'm hoping that by next Wednesday morning that it will calm down a little bit. It will be less out of control, right? I'm hoping that there's some kind of an answer down the whole ballot. The White House down the whole ballot.
This is dominating so much, I don't even know who's supposed to win the House and the Senate.
Well, I think the Republicans are supposed to take the Senate and the Democrats were going to take the House, so it's going to be a flip.
I thought the House is like really close.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I just hope that it's not one side takes all, because that's when it gets stupid.
Except right? we've had
one side takes all.
Except we've had two of those in the last 25 years, and neither guy could do anything when he had it. Bush had all sides; he couldn't do squat, and Obama had all sides; he couldn't do squat, except for Obamacare, which I don't know if that was a good one or not.
But Trump had all sides when he first got his first 2 years.
Did
he had all.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah,
I forgot that.
Did he?
I don't think he did.
I forgot. Now you're going to make me go back and look it up. I thought for the first 2 years he did.
He might have, but I boy.
In the midterms, I think it turned on him. But I think for the first 2 years he did have a sweep.
I thought Pelosi was in the House fighting with him the whole time. The first two years.
Yeah, you might be right. Actually,
I think she was there the whole time.
Yeah, actually, you might be right. Now I have to go back. I lost track of the years. I have to go back and look now.
Yeah, I think she was there his whole 4 years.
Wasn't Kevin? What's his name?
Was McConnell? Was McConnell in the?
No, McConnell was in the Senate, but Kevin, what's his name, the Irish guy from California, wasn't he the Speaker of the House for the first 2 years?
Yeah, he might have been. Yeah, we'll know by next week. Yeah, all right, I got to ask you, what if it's so close that they're fighting about it for a week? What does that do?
Well,
to
that's
the
what I mean. That's what I mean. That this is where it gets ridiculous. You know, if it's really close, then it's going to drag on. You know, it needs to be decisive just so it stops, so people go, okay, this is stupid. Just stop and accept it, and let's move on. You know what I mean? The world is not going to blow up. Either way, the world is not going to blow up, right? You've already had 4 years of a Trump presidency, and the world didn't blow up. So, people really have to take a breath and stand back a little bit.
Well, we also had the numbers when either one of them started their presidency. Well, I'm not going to say her; she's president. One thing I will say is if you or I were ever the vice president that was not allowed to do anything, maybe we weren't capable or whatever, the idea that we're the same person, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. She might be worse, but I'm not so sure that she agreed with everything that happened when she was there. You and I wouldn't have.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't know if she did or she didn't.
Yeah, I guess maybe we'll never know, or maybe we'll find out. I don't know. But
maybe we will.
But, I mean, I guess my question is, what if there's no definitive? Does the market go down 30% next week, or does it just hang in there, or what?
No, so I think if we're stuck kind of like in limbo, then I think the market trades lower. Yes, I think the market trades lower if we're stuck in limbo. I think we've already had this market rally on an expected Trump win, so I also wouldn't be surprised if you saw maybe the market surges. If it's a Trump win, then maybe you see the market surge a little bit more, but then back off, because it's already rallied, I think, a lot ahead of what is expected to be a Trump win, right?
Let me ask you, don't take this personal. Why does every Republican convince that the market loves Republicans? You look at every market statistic known to man, and it just isn't true.
It's not a matter of they love Republicans. I think it's a matter of they're voting because of where they think taxes and regulations are going to be, right? Under him.
But anybody, where has the market gone under the Biden presidency? Do they think it would have been better under Trump? How could it have been any better?
No, and it couldn't. And that's, the market has acted very well, for sure. And the economy's acted strong. There's no problem, except everything's 20 to 25% higher in terms of cost. But the market itself has done very well. I'm not complaining about market returns and about being an investor during his years. I'm not. I'm complaining about the cost of living has just skyrocketed and continues to get more expensive. And so another 4 years of the same thing, it's going to start choking people.
Okay, but why don't...
It is.
Why doesn't... I mean, I think you do this, but you don't... I know you know this. Why don't you think like I do? Maybe you do. I'll even ask you. Why don't you think that the market is up just like the price of pork? One's the same as the other. There's too much money in the system. The market isn't here because people are genius investors. It's because there's too much money in the system.
No, well, that's right. There could be too much money in the system. But there's also, look at we're in the middle of earnings season. Look at what the guidance is. Look at what these companies are reporting. They're beating, we got 80% of the companies beating. We've got very positive forward guidance.
Well, because everybody's raising prices, right?
Right. Yeah. But see, that's going to come to a halt if she gets in, because she's going to start clamping down and suing these big corporations that are, that are raising prices for no reason. That's her argument.
Well, there's always the reason is because you can.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You can't. Right. People really ultimately have to stop buying the stuff that's too expensive. They just have to stop, and then prices will come down. Or the other thing is, they have to allow the country, the economy, to have a recession, which will bring prices down. But they're not going to do that either. They're certainly not going to do it while she was running for president.
When are we going to tell the Fed to stop making money?
Well, the Fed can't stop making money. Every time they turn around, it's just more money that they need to, that we need, right? We're giving money away to, you know, to Israel. We're giving money away to Ukraine. We're giving money away to all these other countries. Where's this money coming from, right? The money's coming from you and me is where it's coming
from.
Actually,
it's coming from the printing press, but...
Well, it's coming from the printing press, yes, but look what... Now, yesterday, we saw bonds under pressure because there was a soft response to two note sales that happened yesterday, right? But that's just indicative. Wait till Janet Yellen has to keep bringing more and more and more treasuries to the market, right? Prices are going to go lower, yields are going to go higher.
Well, that's, I guess, the final question of the political discussion, and we'll let you go to better stuff. What, if you look at the numbers, which I kind of like to do, which all does put you in a bad mood, you know that, Kenny? Look at the numbers, despite people thinking these are the two most extreme opposite people on Earth. What difference can they do when they get in there? The numbers work out for both sides, don't they? Or does Trump have a different calculator than Harris?
I think they make the numbers work, right? They just tell you the numbers work. I don't really think the numbers work. Look what our debt is, right? It keeps going up. What is it, $1 trillion? What is it, $1 trillion every 100 days or something
Nothing that he has promised to people is he going to be able to do. And nothing she has promised the people is she going to be able to do.
She's not going to be able to do it either. I agree with you.
So what happens?
They fail this, and then in the end, they can't really, unless it's a sweep and they can get both, and they can get, you know, their party to just push it through, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen.
But I mean, what in terms of either side? I mean, there have to be some sober people on both sides, and some both sides of the aisle. Neither side is going to even go close. When you're 40% in the hole on your tax receipts versus your expenditures, neither side is going to be stupid enough to lower taxes or to give people $25,000 for a house. I mean, I hope if they do that, I'm getting my Irish citizenship, for God's sake.
Well, but I got to tell you, you say that, but she's gone around making it very clear you're getting this $25,000. You're getting it. How is she then going to turn around and say, well, we can't do it? How is she going to do that?
Well, how's he going to do it? Both of them are saying stuff they can't do.
I agree with you. I think it's very difficult. I think that's why I think politics is a dirty game. You know, it's just a dirty game.
But you know, I mean, how is he going to tell different? You know, the whole part of this thing, people love this idea of a dictator now, and I don't quite know why. But I mean, even Caesar wouldn't walk in and you say, "Geez, Caesar, I got a problem with my wife." Well, that's okay. I don't pay income taxes next year. I don't think anybody, going back thousands of years, would think that a ruler should be able to just pick and choose, even though our tax code's kind of full of it. You don't have to pay. By the way, I like bartenders. You guys don't have to pay. it's so unconscionable, I can't even go there. Same way, you know, plus, even the simple stuff. I mean, we have people, you know, on the show always fighting about, you know, what about the mortgage interest deduction? How it shouldn't be there. Okay, now are we going to leave it for corporations and have BlackRock own every building? I mean,
yeah, right.
Everything the guys talk about on TV, and this frosts me because on the show we do it a lot differently, obviously. Everything they talk about, they never ask the next question, they never go into the detail. I mean, how are we going to throw people out of the country? How are we going to lower taxes when, by the way, we don't have enough taxes?
I don't know. I'm interested to see how they're going to throw people out of the country, right? Like, I will say, to her point, how is that really going to happen? What's that going to look like?
Yeah.
Right? When they try to do that. Yes. I do agree with her. I just don't see how it's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was looking at how much money, and I'm not for an open border, you know that, but how much money it's cost us, and it's for the immigrants. And I've heard people say, even on the show, look at the drugs. We've had drug problems in this country since I was a kid. These people have been here for a year. It's not their fault. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I mean, the in Congress, and the Republicans had the big hearing about all the immigrants, how much it's costing. The number is somewhere between 150 and 400 billion, which is probably inflated. So let's say 300. You know what the total budget is for state, local, and federal government in this country? Where people would say it's costing us all the money. It's like $11.5 trillion. And we're going to say that the $300 billion, which, of course, I don't want to spend, on migrants is our problem. I mean, come on.
Right.
Should we be spending it? Is there a problem? Yes. Should we fix it? Yes. But to say we'd all be whole if these people weren't here, Kenny, it's just not true.
No, that's not true. I agree. That's not true at all.
Anyway, you sound. A lot of people picked up a little cold.
I got a little bit of cold. I came to New York and I got the flu.
Well, that's what happens when you leave Florida.
Yeah, I know. I'm locked up in my hotel room because yesterday I couldn't even lift my head off the pillow. Oh, but I ended up going to the emergency room, and that's fine. I got Tamiflu. But I'm going home on Wednesday. I can't wait to go back.
Just make sure your ears are okay before you're on a plane.
Yeah.
Well, always good to hear from you, and always good to joust with you, bud.
Listen, I'm going to talk to you next Tuesday when it's all happening.
When it's all, are you already voted? Or everybody keeps asking if I already voted.
I didn't vote yet. I can vote because there's voting early now in Florida. I've been gone for a week, so it started last week. So I could vote early when I get back.
Everybody keeps asking me, hey, how come you already voted? The polling place is 100 yards off my front door.
Yeah, right. Why wouldn't you?
Well, you know, I mean, there's nobody ever there. It takes, although from what I understand, there's like 8 pages of judges that aren't on any of them. I mean, I work my way through it. It's a pain in the ass. Oh, you know, just as an anecdote, the most hotly contested stuff here in Chicago, without question, is these people that are being elected to the school board.
Oh, I can imagine.
The amount of money being spent, and I don't even think these, I don't know if they get paid, Kenny. But it's the teachers' union is all over the mayor's picks, and the other people are going after the teachers' union. Out of 10 things I've gotten in the mail in the last 3 days, I'm going to say 8 of them were for this one race. And last time we voted, there wasn't even a race there.
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah.
It is unreal.
I don't know. I have to see what's in my what's on my ballot when I go, how many, you know, what else I'm voting for.
Hey, Monday, I know I think you're normally busy, but listening to the show last hour, Reverend Karen Reeves on. We had her on before. She ran for U.S. Rep. Well, now she's running for one of these school board slots, and she's not the mayor's pick.
Yeah,
and she could be one of the nicest people I've ever met. Has had an amazing life where she's worked for these places where you help people get trained, where they actually get a job. You know, not just get it. And adopted a blind kid. I mean, she's a terrific lady. They're on her like if she's, you know, she came from Japan during World War II because she's not the mayor's pick. They're saying all kinds of rotten things about her. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Anyway, listen in, because she's terrific. You take care of yourself. S&P Futures down 11, NASDAQ Futures down 23. Real short break. And back with the Professor Helsner.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-388-4901.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. S&P Futures down 10, NASDAQ Futures down 19. We were a little bit up when we came in, then we were a little down. We're kind of flopping a little bit. I have a feeling we're not going to do much between now and next Tuesday, and let's just hope we have a winner, I think. I'm not as concerned about who it is necessarily as I am about, I don't think we need to fight for 6 months. I don't know what that does to the markets. I have no idea. What do you think? What would it do to the markets if we don't have we can't figure out who's president for a while?
Yeah, I don't understand how they can't get a result on Tuesday night. That just, I think it irritates much of the country. So I was watching something on Twitter. Chris Cuomo, I think it was TikTok video because, you know, it's a vertical video. And I think Chris Cuomo gets it. You know, all the people that are voting for Trump, they don't like what he says or how he says it. What they like is that he's going to take down, you know, they hope he takes down D.C. And they
which he didn't
trust
do, which he didn't do the last time he was there.
I know. Yeah. But that's what they're hoping he does, right? So they're voting for him because he's a middle finger to the national security state.
Right. Well,
to the defense contractors, right? That's why they vote for him. I don't think it's worship. A lot of people think it's worship. I think they support him because he's outside. I mean, he's literally outside of the political system. And I think the reason why the political system hates so much, and I was listening to you and Kenny talk earlier, and I was listening to you and the new guy.
Ricky.
What's the new guy's
name? The new guy, Ricky.
Ricky, yeah. I was listening to you guys talk a little bit. Whoops, there's my alarm clock. Sorry.
You were asleep?
No. That indicates that I have to take my son to school, but not on Tuesdays because I'm on the road.
Okay.
But yeah, I was listening to you guys talk, and you know, I just feel like, you know, a lot of people misunderstand Trump, and I don't like his tweets. I don't like more than half of what he says, right? I did watch the Nazi event at MSG, and I didn't find it Nazi at all because there were Palestinian groups in there. I think there were Israeli groups in there, and, you know, supporting the president, and, you know, other than one comedian telling some bad jokes, you know, he's got a pretty good team. And I told my kids walk up to me and they go, "Dad, who are you voting for?" And I go, "Well, I dislike both presidential candidates very much, but I like one person's team. I like Elon Musk. I like RFK Jr.
Elon Musk was an illegal immigrant.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
but now he doesn't bitch about other illegal
immigrants. Tom, you got me wrong. I'm an open borders guy. I think passports and border walls are wrong. Passport and border walls limit people's liberty. They trap people in an oppressive government. So you have to pay their taxes, and they can treat you as poorly as possible, right? So I'm not an advocate of... I'm an advocate of open borders and no border wall and no passports. I think people should be able to pick up and move to wherever they want to live. You know, if people in China want to move to the United States, they should be able to. If people in America want to move to Mexico, they should be able to buy property and open businesses. So I'm totally opposed to border walls and passports. And I have been that way for years. So, you know, Elon Musk wants to build a billion-dollar company in the United States. Hey, I applaud him.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah. If he wants to provide free internet to the people of Appalachia who were literally drowned by that hurricane for free, hey, I applaud that, right? If he wants to be an advocate for free speech, I'm in favor of that. And that's why I only pay for the blue check mark on Twitter because I support his free speech fight. And that's the reason why I pay that blue check mark. I only got like 350 followers, so most of what I tweet, most people don't like, because sometimes it's critical of the left and sometimes it's critical of the right. And that's how libertarians are, right?
Speaking of you libertarian creatures, why can't you give me a candidate to vote for? Who's your guy?
Well, you know, this year...
Last time the guy was pretty good, right?
There's a guy that says he's a libertarian, but he doesn't seem like a libertarian to me. He seems more like a progressive person who's kind of like the equivalent of Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson was saying that he's fiscally conservative and socially liberal. Well, that's not a libertarian, right? A person that says that is for the state for the most part, right? They're for these institutions. And I'm not. So the guy they got running this year, I can't vote for. I mean, I watched that debate, and I can't vote for that guy. So who do I vote for? I got to vote for the guy that has a better team. Am I going to vote for Kamala Harris, who's backed by Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, Scaramucci, And Mitt Romney? Am I going to vote for that person? No.
Why don't you like Mitt Romney?
Who's her team going to be, Tom? Who's her team going to be?
Why don't you like Mitt Romney?
Be holdovers from the Biden administration. So it can be a continuation.
Okay, why don't you like Mitt Romney?
Like, I can't stand Mitt Romney.
Why? I mean, out of curiosity. I don't know that much about him. I can't stand
Mitt Romney because the guy he supports the war in Ukraine. I'm totally anti-war. Scaramucci supports the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, but Ukraine didn't invade themselves.
Well, yeah, but the Ukraine thing didn't have to happen. Our government authorizes that Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Russia has all this oil revenue. When oil prices were $40 a barrel, Russia couldn't make war. Iran now has the revenue to make war and to make a mess of the Middle East because they're allowed to sell oil now. And they're selling it, and they're using all those profits to do what? Finance terror. The way to win the war on terror, if you want to win the war on terror, just pump the crap out of oil until it's $40 a barrel. Then Russia can't finance a war, and Iran can't finance a war. It's a pretty easy thing.
Yeah, but our guys don't make money there either.
Well, you know what? Hey, that's the competitive markets. You make it competitive. Now you're making a pro-government intervention to artificially raise the price of something. I'm completely opposed to that. And that's why our healthcare is so expensive. I'm teaching this health economics class, and now I know the reason why healthcare is so dang expensive.
It's expensive because people who influence government are making a boatload of money on it. That's why.
Well, and they lobby for what? They lobby for restrictions. They lobby tools that allow them to issue a competitor's veto. A hospital can say, no, that would be duplicative services. So we don't want you to open up an MRI office across the street. That'd be like McDonald's.
You know what, though? Somehow or another,
open up across the street.
Somehow or another, Hal, that is all gone by the way. Because I had to get an MRI 8 months ago. There's all kinds of places.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is,
nobody goes there. That's the weird part.
A hospital can issue a competitor's veto in like 30-plus states. And say, I don't want the competitor across the street because that represents duplicative services. And then we ask the question, well, why do we have so few of ICU beds? Why were they so filled up? Why were there lockdowns? Were there lockdowns because the government has created an artificial scarcity in ICU beds and hospital beds in general? So that was the purpose of the lockdowns and the masks.
Well, why are you so positive on Elon Musk when he got $9 billion from the government?
Well, you know what? Hey, I don't support his subsidies. And any subsidy
he wouldn't even be on this show if he didn't get those subsidies.
I know, exactly. But that's all in the past, and the guy is for free speech. And what I like about him right now is, you know, Trump's rhetoric is pretty anti-electric vehicle. I don't know if you've noticed it. But Elon Musk is still in his corner. Why? Because Elon Musk values free speech. I think he values it more than anything else.
I think he values him being the censor rather than the government.
Well, I don't think he's censoring. I mean, I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, he has every intention to.
On Twitter every day, and man, I'll tell you, the lefties and the righties are just using all kinds of foul language
Why don't these people get a job instead of doing this all day long?
I use Twitter to come up with interesting topics, and I use Twitter actually. I'll see a tweet and it's about some news story, and I'll go into the comments, and yeah, I think 50% of the people who are on my wall are probably lefties and 50% are probably righties. So I go into the comments and I read the comments to get an idea of where the story really is, right? Because if somebody posts something on Twitter and people dig a little bit, they'll reveal the biases or the inaccuracies in the story. So that's probably where I get most of my news, and I don't get it from the primary tweet. I get it 100 comments into the tweet.
Well, I have a societal question. This is kind of enough. I mean, I never dig into, you know, Audrey has a lot of people that she does business with, and I absolutely do stay out of it, hell, believe it or not. Because that's her business. She's really good at it. If I drive her to a showing, I don't walk in. I don't want to see the place. I don't want to make
Audrey's the one that pronounces three as tree, right?
Oh, yeah, she's a Southside. She absolutely refuses to believe she does.
Well, tell her she does.
It's like, oh, yeah. It's like telling somebody in Boston, I say, you guys can't pronounce the R word. What do you mean? I'm parking my car. No, it's a car. Car.
Yeah, it's a car.
Trying to get somebody to a Boston guy to tell you he can't pronounce R.
Well, my wife laughs at me because I can't pronounce wolf and hundred.
God. But you know, I talk Southside. My mother tells me all this education. You talk like you came from 33rd tracks, you tell me. You know, it's my mother told me that. But I mean,
you use that old London axe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I do that just for laughs because on the South Side, oh, okay. that's what they say.
That's old London.
Well, it's also South Side. I'm going to axe you.
Yeah.
But my question is, but I get anecdotally, just with her talking to one of her friends and so forth, it's stunning how many people have a home, you know, parents or whatever. As a matter of fact, who was on the show yesterday? Somebody was telling me that half of the friends they graduated college with are back living with their parents. Well, it's Matt Byrne, our producer on Monday.
Oh, I bet it's pretty high in the cities, too. Yeah, like, but definitely New York.
But Audrey was telling me last few weeks, just anecdotally, she goes, well, these people are looking for this house with this many bedrooms. And I go, okay, how many people are there? Well, there's this person, and there's the son and, you know, somebody else. And I'm going, well, what do they do? Well, they don't do anything. What do you mean they don't do anything? If you're 28 years old and you're a male, how the hell do you get up in the morning and not go do something?
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, if it's female now, same thing. And, well, they don't do anything. Well, what do you do all day? I mean, you're not helping with the rent. You're not helping. Are you at least mowing the lawn? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, how many people do we have? And I get the feeling that everybody's sitting there tweeting and crap all day. I know some people, well, my extended family, through in-laws, they said they got somebody who's retired. They listen to two or three right-wing channels going at the same time all day long and tweeting out.
Well, but, you know, the people on the left are the same thing.
Oh, I'm just saying these people, I think, are on the left, one of the first group I was talking about. But I'm saying, how do you not have a job? People who used to weld and do stuff at Pullman weren't on Twitter all day long, messing with people. You had something to do.
Yeah.
At night you went and played softball or something. You didn't sit there and go right home to your computer.
Well,
and start
I'll tell
insulting
you what,
people.
If you have four kids and your business, the business you work for, the university you work for closes, you hustle pretty hard to get that next job. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well,
if you don't have any responsibilities, you know, and your mom's willing to put you in her basement.
But how do you? There's got to be some buddy of yours that's a painter. You help him. You do. There's something you can do.
Well, I bet there's a lot of working under the table, and I think a lot of.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm saying it is an incredible amount of people that have nothing to do all day.
Well, you know, the government keeps on saying there's like 8 million job openings, and I read a lot of articles about people who, you know, apply for these jobs, and they're saying like 300 or 400 people applied for the position that they applied for. And, you know, I kind of think, you know, I don't have any evidence of this, but I think the agency that computes this and releases this number, 8 million job openings, I think that's numbers inflated substantially. And I think they inflate it because they use it as an argument to snub American, high-paid American. If you hired Americans to do those jobs, you have to pay them a lot more than somebody that you could bring in or work remotely from a different country. So I think a lot of it, and I have no evidence of it. I just suspect because, you know, government is always quote unquote truthful, right? Government never tells lies. So I just don't trust that number.
Well,
I trust it as much as the employment number.
There's a guy, talk about telling people weird stuff about yourself. And Sundays, usually out in the burbs, and I get up in the morning early because I do the show, right? So I'm usually at Meyer's early in the morning getting gas, and you get there probably.
Fred Meyer with a J?
No, the guy from Michigan, Meyer's.
Yeah, Meyer with a J, right?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
Meyer
no,
with
no,
a J.
No,
Fred Meyer out west.
No, MEI, whatever it is. That's not with a J.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Meyer, doesn't Meyer from Michigan have a J?
He's the richest man in Michigan.
Yeah, but it has a J, right?
No. You know, maybe it does. It might. Yeah,
I think it's a J. Yeah, Fred Meyer out west.
Yeah, it does. The M-E-I, was it M-E-I-J-E-R or something? That's how you spell it. But he, so he, you know, you go out and you know, you
Tom,
know,
it sounds like the cops are coming for you.
Well, there's a we're upstairs from fire engine company number one, probably.
Okay.
But the there's a guy, and he's in his 60s. He's a cashier, right? And the dude has been, of course, you know, everybody talks to me, right? Every week I get regaled with his couple of interviews he's had with these openings, right? They're all, anybody who wants to work for, you know, there's all kinds of jobs in these, you know, villages and towns and police departments that an older guy can do. And there's one where he's doing, where you're expected to take evidence from place to place in your car and deliver it, you know, that kind of thing. It's like 4 or 5 hours a day. Well, the dude has been interviewing now for a solid 2 years. He's probably interviewed 40 places. And every week I say, you know, there's no job there. What do you mean? They got an opening. I go, the people who run human resources for the state or for the city, whatever, they have to interview people.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So if there's a job open, they already know who's going to get the job. But they have to interview 5 or 10 people to make it look like, I mean, come on, this is Chicago or thereabouts.
I think that's the same way in New York, too.
Well, Dan Janitas, during the effort of COVID, he had a buddy of his down in Florida. And people had there's all these openings, right? Restaurants and everywhere. So the guy called on 10 openings, just went around and wrote down the numbers. Not one of them called him back. Yeah. I think that just about every restaurant has an ad out there for somebody to pay less than the people they're currently paying in the hope somebody shows up.
Yeah, they want that salary inversion.
But I don't know where my nephew works. It's a metal company that, as we're starting to pick up a little bit of business here in Chicago, and some of the Chicago still has some really big manufacturing people here. I mean, the Tootsie Roll plant, for instance, is here, and he went for a tour of that. He says it's unbelievable. They produce 1 million pieces of candy a day, or something.
Wow.
You know, with the Tootsie Roll Pops and the little tiny ones and stuff.
Oh, I love the Tootsie Roll.
And he goes, the stuff is just spectacular. But a lot of their machines were made, you know, maybe in Germany in the 50s and 60s, and parts wear out. And there's people that will custom make those parts for people, and his firm is kind of like that. And there's other people, if, you know, you go into a factory, you don't realize that the thing you put down with all the little rolling wheels on it, where you just shove boxes down the road, and it all, you know, the wheel, what do you call those things, where you can shove it, and because of the gravity, they run on the wheels, and they get down to the end, and you can pick the box off the thing. Those things are incredibly hard to make. You know, to make one or fix one's a big deal. But anyway, their place, they would hire 5-10 people tomorrow if you could find somebody. Once in a while, they get somebody from the Army or somewhere, or they actually had to buy another firm to get 10 people. There are jobs in those areas. There's people that if you know how to maintain machines, all those guys are 65 years old and they're retiring. I mean, there are definitely job openings.
Yeah, but, I think the problem with the public school system, and this is one reason why I don't like the public school system, is, or I want to reform it, to get rid of all the mandates, the education mandates that come from the top, and have more of a market system where money is tied to the student, not to the school. And, you know, parents can choose the kind of schools they want without having the government say, no, you can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to get, just think about it. If grocery stores run like the public school system, you'd have one big neighborhood store and they wouldn't care what's in the store because the governor is paying the bill, right? The governor is basically buying the groceries. So if you set the public school the public education system free, and you get rid of all these licensing requirements, and because, you know, a parent with a kid, I'm a parent and I have kids. I mean, yeah, obviously I'm a parent with kids. I'm not going to pick a school that does a poor job of training my kids or educating my kids. I'm gonna find a school that's perfectly suited for them. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a bunch of trade schools pop up. You're going to see schools that focus only on sports. You're going to see schools that focus on mathematics and science. You're going to see schools that focus on the arts. And you're going to see schools that cater to parents who have special needs. And these schools are going to pop up everywhere. How do I know that? Because in the South, there is a church for every flavor in the South. And they're everywhere. And they thrive here in the South. So I know that would happen. And the public school system, They have these large public schools. They have monopoly positions, which trap the poor kids in them. And they do what? They force them to go to school. If they don't go to school, they throw the parents in jail, right? For truancy, or they try to prosecute them. And then they use a standardized method to reach kids with various degrees of interest and passions and whatnot. And they standardize that education on them, and then they try to push them into the university system. And that's why we have very few people willing to do or able to do those kinds of jobs you're talking about.
Except for kind of for one thing. I mean, I know you're, and you know you're not going to get any disagreement out of me on how responsive the public school systems are to.
They're not very responsive, okay. Especially in an inner city.
Okay, but
there's no competition.
Right, but you know, I've been alive a while, and my mom and I were pretty tight, and she would tell me about what schools were like when she was growing up during the Depression, basically, and talk to Audrey, the girl with the trees. She went to Kelly High School here in Chicago, and all the stuff that you're talking about, I mean, they sort of had a competitive system because the Catholic schools were real strong, but
yeah,
but just because it's government, maybe the competitive side in some areas is going to be better, okay, but the fact is the city side was very efficient for a while. And now it isn't. I mean,
Because they faced competitors, the Catholic schools.
No, but I'm saying, but if you talk to Audrey going to Kelly High School, she goes, "What are you talking about? There was a college prep group for those people who wanted to do that. There were people who learned how to be electricians. There were people who learned home ec. If you wanted to work in a bakery, you could learn how to bake. This was all part of the idea that you know you had basic. You learned civics." You learn math, you learn how to read, all those things everybody learned. But
oh, yeah, that was my high school experience.
But you said there were guys that took woodshop for 4 years. There were guys that took... But this was all in other words, the Chicago public schools used to provide this, and now they don't. And they got way more money now than they used to. But I mean, should it be more competitive? Should there be a charter system? Yes, you're not going to get me to argue that.
I think it should be.
It doesn't mean that everything that government does has to be bleeped up. Because my mom said when she was in school, she goes, "There, it was a total different idea. You learn the same stuff." And my uncles became tool and die makers and all kinds of stuff, and they never made it past junior year in high school. She goes, "You learn that early. You learn how to multiply. You learn how to divide. You know your math. You know a lot about the history of the city." She goes, They taught you everything. She goes, there was no homework. She goes, you got an 8-year-old, for God's sake, for 5 hours. That's plenty of time. She goes, they taught you how to cut your toenails. They taught you how to take a bath. Because they didn't know what you were learning at home. Yeah. They never sent you home with homework because the parents said that you worked when you got home. She goes, if they gave you something to read, they gave you a half hour to read it, half hour to write what you... They take it away from you, half hour to write what you just learned, then they'd grade everybody. They didn't say, take it home, have your mom help you. But... The schools here were very responsive to what...
Well, I also think it has to deal with the teachers. Do the teachers live in the neighborhood?
Well, it could, yeah.
In rural areas, in the areas I grew up in, the teachers were at the grocery stores with the parents.
Yeah.
They were at the church with the parents. We were at the basketball games together. So in that kind of environment, I think it can thrive because the teachers are being held accountable to the parents anytime they're in the store. But when you're in a big city and you got teachers living in Staten Island... who are teaching in Brooklyn, nothing wrong with it, but how can the parents kind of hold them accountable in a neighborhood setting, a community setting?
I remember one of the, you know, again, I get people calling the Squirrel Digest is like Twitter for people that can write. Sorry, but...
What is it?
Quora.
Quora, okay.
But it's,
oh, yeah, I know. Yeah,
Quora. It's okay. Like, but people have to write. You can't just be a tweet guy. And so somebody writes in, did Churchill think that Harry Truman was an idiot? And, so the guy writes back, he said, he goes, people today, I wasn't alive then, but people today have no concept of how even a rural school system in Missouri, these people are not bumpkins. They all knew how to read, they all know how to write, they all knew history of the government, they knew their civics. He goes, it wasn't like they were geniuses, but this was something everybody learned in grammar school. There was no two ways about it. You learn, and he goes, Harry Truman was probably almost as well read as Churchill was.
Oh, some of the best economists I've met are guys that just have an interest in economics, and they just read. They read these treaties, right?
Yeah, I mean, they said don't. I mean, he didn't have the world experience being in the Middle East and for all those years, like, or he wasn't First Lord of the Admiralty, like Churchill was. But don't think for a second he was an idiot. He wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he said he. I mean, he felt right at home with Churchill. You know, so I mean, it's you can't. I think this, for whatever reason, I don't understand why we don't have trade schools here anymore. Yeah. That it would have worked.
Well, I think what it is you know, these schools want to push all these kids into college. And in my labor economics class, I do this model where, you know, you got people who are, you know, really good at doing math, and you got people who are really good at fixing things. And the people who are really good at fixing things generally in the past would, you know, go to high school and then they get a job working as an electrician or mechanic. The people who are really good at, you know, solving math problems go to college. And then what happens is, and the theory is really interesting, right? What happens is people make the observation that, oh, if you graduate from college, you make $80,000 a year. If you graduate from high school, you make $40,000 a year. Well, that has ability bias. That difference has ability bias. What you want to do is you want to look at the people who are really good at fixing things who go to college.
Why this is
and look at their differences in salaries.
You know, I'll push back on that. Same like I do with Kevin and a lot of other people.
Well, it's not my theory. It's
no, I'm just saying I don't get. I wish I had a woodworking class in high school. Matter of fact, I used to go.
Oh, I had woodworking classes all through high school.
Well, I used to go to the Park District. They had them. Of course, we don't do that anymore either. You could take woodworking at the Park District.
Well, apparently on Facebook, one of my friends from junior high school said I was the woodworking teacher's favorite student because I made these really cool, intricate cabinets with dittos and all kinds of routed edges and little doors and nooks and crannies. And I was like, really? I was his favorite? And this is the guy that had, like, two missing fingers, right?
Well, I've argued with people, discussed it with everybody on the show here since we started. I don't get the either-or piece of this because I went to college and grad school, but I love to do stuff. I mean, I remodeled houses.
Oh, I love fixing stuff.
But,
at
the price, when I went to Notre Dame, at the price it was a way, even if, when one of the guys, his dad owned a fence company in Detroit, he was going to run the fence company. That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
His dad said, okay, we can wait. Go away for 4 years. Learn how to meet people. Learn how to do the other stuff. Learn how to live with people. Learn stuff that you're not going to learn here and come back. You'll not only know this stuff, which you already know, but now you're going to know other stuff too. Maybe you can
be able to automate things. Automate
the
books.
But now at $3,000 a year, that was the right decision. Yeah. At $75,000 a year, maybe not. You know, but the dad didn't care if you went and took
history. Depends on what the major is, I think.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, I ended up with economics, okay, in arts and letters. Now, who the bleep would hire an economist out of arts and letters, you know, unless you want to be teaching economics in high school? I mean, who'd want me? But I was smart enough, and in those days, they didn't care. I mean, now you really almost can't even do this in schools like Illinois and stuff. I took a full year of accounting. I took a full year of finance. I took a year of marketing. They allowed me to take all these electives in the business school. I pretty much had a business degree and an economics degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, so I mean, I had how many people in economics take federal taxation for a year?
I was
able to do all that, and I don't care if I came back and was still in my remodeling business. I was better off for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about, you know, going and spending. I mean, now if it's $75,000 a year and you don't come out with a job that pays you $150,000 or something like that as a CPA or something, was it worth it? Probably not. But if the price was real, I mean, my mom used to take classes the year before she died, for God's sake, at St. Xavier. I mean, she took them just because she wanted to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole idea that we've truncated this into, you're either into this for $400,000 or you're not. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can find a good state university.
Yeah.
You know, UNC is a great state university. Washington State used to be an affordable state university.
But it's
university.
Still not.
Now it's not affordable at all.
But they play the games. I don't know how UNC is. Like if you live in Ohio. If you live in Ohio, I try and get Ohio State now.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because But oh, by the way, they'll let
Football has an interesting impact on the demand for college education.
No, it has all to do with the out-of-state tuition is way more than in-state.
Oh yeah.
So they're rejecting people in Ohio. Those people are going to Michigan State.
They're going with full-time payers.
They're going to Michigan State and they're paying twice as much. It's criminal.
They're grabbing the surplus of the parents who are purchasing.
Why do you think that Illinois? I don't know the numbers. I did know before COVID. I used to look them up, but. Why do you think Illinois has so many Asians?
Yeah.
They all pay full boat. Try and get an Illinois engineering school if you come out of the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
But if you're from Michigan, we had somebody on from, I won't say Michigan, but I'll say Michigan, was in the admissions department. They were very aware that people from out of state paid more. So the people from Illinois go to Wisconsin, the people from Wisconsin go to Illinois because you pay twice as much. And yet... Duh! I mean, is that what we really want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, this is all. It's somehow or another, whoever. A lot of things have to change. Hell, I think, and probably they will. Who's the guy?
I'm not too sure about that because I mean, what does government do? What is the art of politics?
But
to sell protections to people who are willing to give you money to finance your campaign.
Well, so. Somewhere along the line, and I don't know, it's just like with the, you and I have talked about for years, why the 10-year rate is so low and inflation is so high, because the Fed's buying stuff. You and I go, well, that can't go on forever, and maybe now, it's not going on forever. Now we've got the 10-year this morning is 4.32. It's up another.
It just keeps pushing higher after they lower the rate, 50 basis points, right?
Matter of fact, I put a position in for my clients yesterday, thinking it's going to keep going, a little bit. Now, you know, am I capable of turning it around? I hope the big guy upstairs isn't watching my show.
I think one of the keys is the fact that the government lies about inflation. I mean, if you look at McDonald's sales, it's up 3% year over year, right? But if you account for government measured inflation, that's break even. But if you use real inflation that the government doesn't measure,
well, Coca-Cola came out and told you last
probably
week.
Declined by 1%.
Yeah, Coca-Cola came out last year and told you that. Or last week, that their sales were down, but the prices were up, so the revenue was up.
Yeah. But if the revenue's up 3%, it's actually probably down 1%.
Yeah.
Because I did some back of back of the Excel spreadsheet estimation. And I concluded with these calculations that the way they measure in health insurance or medical services in the CPI, if they measured it more accurately, instead of using like profits of insurance companies, it would add approximately 1.5 percentage points to the inflation rate. So McDonald's sales are actually down
for 20 years
on a yearly basis. So McDonald's sales are actually down 1.5% if that is more accurate than what government reports.
Well, so the question is why collectively, and I'm not talking about revolutions or stuff, why collectively do people put up with it?
Well, because you know the pebble in their shoe's not too big yet, right?
Well, that's what
they can walk around. They can walk around with that little teeny pebble in their shoe, and when that pebble becomes a boulder, their foot won't fit in that shoe, and then they're going to be outraged.
Well, there was an article somebody sent me, but I think maybe before you were on, Hal, it was when the politics first started to get crazy and people started lying about all this stuff, and there was a guy.
I think they've always lied. It's just
but it's a matter of degree. I mean, but the
today's news reporting is basically the yellow journalism of the 1800s or the pamphleteering of the revolutionary times, right? Because only I think 30% of the nation supported the revolution, right? Only 30%.
How would anybody know that?
Yeah.
Well, most people came from Britain.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly.
But what I'm saying is,
no, I think 30% supported the revolution, and about 30% supported not fighting Britain, not leaving Britain,
right?
And the rest were kind of like indifferent,
right? Yeah. Well, but
you got one side lying to support, you know, exaggerating their cause, and you got the other side exaggerating their cause, right? And the truth is somewhere in between.
Well, but you have what was my train of thought here? We're what you have now in terms of news, the news is kind of a fabrication. I mean, the news used to be stuff you wrote. you know, somebody wrote it in a paper. It was
somebody
there.
Had verified
but
it. Was,
it but it was there. It was there forever. Okay, but you can have. So if Hal Snar or Tom Howe decided they wanted to write something, I still have columns I used to write that are, you know, buried on our website somewhere, and they still sound okay. But I spent, yeah. I put a lot of research into them and so forth. But I mean, if you write a newspaper article, it's there. You and I can go back to 1920 and pull up somebody's article. But yeah. the way, like CNBC, I watch it all day. With, you know, sometimes the other two, is that's what I do for my clients. It's my job, right? Is to keep abreast of. They're not investing in their stuff. I'm investing it for them. Okay, so I have to stay up on stuff because, you know, we don't have to do that much these days because the market just goes up. But still, you got to do something. And I'm sure I do a hell of a lot more than most managers. But you listen to, nobody ever takes any kind of a stand. You'll see the buffoons that are the guys that are, and they're not buffoons because they're good at it and making a lot of money. They'll say, most economists say, and they'll lob one out there. Who's the most economist? You got three mice in your pocket? What do you mean?
Well, in today's world of universities, if you're not vocally supportive of the left, I don't know if you get tenure or, you know, there's a lot of pressure on, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure on university campuses. It's everywhere. And so, of course, a bunch of economists are going to say you got to support a candidate on the left.
No, because I'm saying,
the pressure is unreal on college campuses.
I mean, I'm most of the business channels support corporations.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their shtick.
Well,
they're the ones
who,
that ever.
The primary advertiser.
Yeah, they're the primary advertiser.
Big Pharma,
so that's,
right?
Big and most corporations used to be. I mean, they seem like.
Do you
like
think CNN's going to be critical of Pfizer or Fox News going to be critical of Pfizer? No way.
No, they're not going to be. But so that's my point. So we never really get at what you and I might consider to be the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about it here, and even though, you know, we argue back and forth with all the people on the air, the fact is we're all kind of going the same direction. I mean, do people?
But that's the art of conversation,
right? But
right?
nobody wants it. But seemingly like there's so much on and there's so much available. I just mentioned to Ricky earlier. It's like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant. Is anybody going to get on CNBC someday? They have an actual news segment, like maybe you used to have, and somebody like you or somebody like me, they don't want me, face for radio, somebody like you or somebody come out and say, here's what you were just talking about. Now, this is you or me pissing in Lake Michigan in regards to what it means to people, but you and I are going to come out there and we're going to say, you know, if you look at the health insurance piece of the CPI, and you have to do one of these a week for like forever. You look at the health insurance piece of the CPI, which you just brought up. Somehow or another, somebody has decided that this is going to be based on the profits of insurance companies and not how much of a check PTI has to send into the insurance company every month for 10 employees. You would think this was simple, Hal. Okay, you call up my brother and say, Dan,
it's just lying.
In the last 10 years, what has your insurance cost gone up? And he's going to say, they're up. Since 2000, they're up three and a half times. And I said, well, here, they got us up 50%. Okay, fine. You're wrong.
And that's probably including a massive deductible, too.
Well,
right?
I'm saying it's not even probably a zero-sum game because I bet the deductibles have gone higher and people's co-pays are going higher. I don't trust any of these people. The guy here works in the building. He's got a Blue Cross plan. Blue Cross used to be. Now there's a million Blue Cross plans, right? So I don't know if I told you this story because you'd appreciate it more than most. He has a hernia, right? Now, I'll use the term a simple hernia, just one. Now, simple means not two or three. It doesn't mean that it's easy, and it's only simple if it's not you, right, Hal? You know, but anyway, it's one that is a routine fix, if there is any such thing when they're putting you under his routine. And now he can either go to, now they want, his deductible is like $5,000, right? And he hasn't paid out any deductible yet because it's February. And he goes, well, big guy, what should I do? I can go somewhere else and just get it fixed for like $4,000. Or this hospital wants $9,000. Now, so he has to come up with the $5,000 deductible plus he has like a 20% copay. So the hospital's saying that this is $9,000 of which, say $10,000 of which his share now is $5,000 plus $2,000. The copay.
Yeah.
or maybe it's five plus one of the five, whatever. So he's, it's like $6,000. He goes, but I can just go somewhere where they'll do it for like $3,500 or $4,000, because that's actually the price of hernia surgery if you look around.
That's exactly what health economics demand for healthcare services or pharmaceutical drugs predict when you include a copay, coinsurance.
Well, but now his point was, what should I do? And, you know, I went through the math. Hell, they know what they're doing. These guys are not idiots.
Oh, they know, yeah.
It was, I said, you know.
What's the maximum? What they're doing is they're pricing him based on his net, what he's willing to pay.
Right. Well, right. It also has to do with, it's February.
And then multiplying that by the coinsurance. Okay, but it's, they're dividing that value by the coinsurance percentage.
Right, but I'm saying it's now February.
Yeah.
So if he blows his deductible, now his kid's a real good soccer player. And okay, what if the kid sprains an ankle or does something, or worse, playing soccer, breaks a finger or something? It's only February. Now, if it was December, I might say, you know what? I'd go to the place for $3,500. They do just as good a job, maybe better. And take the chance that in the next 3 weeks, nobody's going to get sick. But in February, the last thing you want is a kid to break an ankle playing soccer next week. Yeah. And now you've paid the $3,500. Now you owe the copay the second time.
Yeah. But
they know just what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why when I was getting my MRA, which I hadn't had one in a long time, just out of curiosity, because I do the show and because I've got guys like you and Kevin and everybody saying there's other places. There's all kinds of places at different prices. Now, with my insurance, it didn't matter, but I did it anyway. There's actually a place where you can, if you just tell them, I think I hurt my ankle and hobble in, I think it's $300-$400, they'll give you an MRI on your ankle. You don't even need a prescription. And then they'll read it and they'll say, yeah, you got a busted ankle, you idiot, or something like that. But yet, I'm guessing Northwestern's still $6,000, $6,500 for an MRI.
Yeah.
I mean, University of Chicago probably is too.
That's what coinsurance does. If the coinsurance percentage is 20%, this is what the insurance company or the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies have discovered. If the coinsurance percentage is, say, 20%, and you have a linear demand curve, and the slope of that linear demand curve is, say, 2. What they do is they know that with the coinsurance payment, they divide the 2 by the amount of that percentage, which multiplies it by 5. So the slope of that demand curve is not 2, it's actually 10, right? And what does that mean? Well, under that system, if you're willing to pay $100 for something with no coinsurance, that's the most you're willing to pay. With coinsurance, they know they can multiply that value by 5 and charge you $500. Because what's going to happen is when you're paying the $500, insurance covers 80% of it. You only have to pay 20% of it. So they're getting at your maximum willingness to pay.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. I mean, you're maybe not as thinking people as devious as I am. If you go to a hospital and you got a 25% copay,
yeah,
and you get this bill for $10,000. And it's an appendectomy or something. So they say it's $10,000. You owe $2,500. You send in the check. How do you know for sure that the insurance company isn't getting a different price than yours?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I'm going to say I doubt very seriously if they're sending them a check for $7,500.
Yeah, there's probably a negotiation in there, right?
But there shouldn't
what
be.
What they do
if
is
I'm
they,
paying, I'm saying if I'm paying 25% of something, I want to pay 25% of the real number, not some other number.
Let's pass a law that makes that transparent, right? How much did the insurance
company have laws? We already have laws. They don't do it.
Yeah.
They are like the people who go through the stop signs. The law, it doesn't even apply to them.
See, what's going on is they're probably colluding in a way to get as much out of you as possible, even though you have this coinsurance and this deductible. They're conspiring probably in what should be an illegal way.
Well, it is an illegal way.
They're allowed to do it.
But didn't,
so they can grab the most you're willing to pay for that service.
I think, was it the Trump administration put through something about truth and something on your medical bills?
Now they're supposed to post their prices, right?
Have they done any? I haven't seen them do any of that. They ignore him. They ignore everybody. They'd ignore Caesar, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Because none of them, I don't hate to be like Carl. I like Carl in a lot of ways, smart man. I mean, none of them has any fear whatsoever They're just like a guy shooting somebody in Chicago or a biker going through a stop sign. There's no different. They have no fear whatsoever that somebody's going to show up tomorrow and say, gee, this guy Hal Snar was in the hospital. And
well, that's because the regulators, the people that are supposed to regulate them, they're in the exclusive agreement that government has created, right? And there's a revolving door between government, regulators.
Well, I'm saying whatever it is.
They're not going to lose their jobs.
Okay, whatever it is, whether it's the state police not having anybody on the expressway, whatever it is, it isn't happening. I mean, I don't know what, on every level, what's causing it. I mean, I don't think that Pritzker's sitting there one day going, calling the guy, the head of state police, and saying, by the way, Joe, I don't want anybody on the expressway because I don't want anybody pulled over for going 100 miles an hour. Those are my vote. I can't believe he says that.
Yeah.
You know, man, I can't believe.
I think what's going on in Illinois is instead of hiring people to patrol the highways, they've got to fill these positions in these cities, and so maybe the police officers are being hired to.
I mean, somebody somewhere in the north side now, it's getting even worse because these are all, you know, I'm gonna say more wealthy white people. You don't ever have to stop at a stop sign on your bike. And the reason why I kind of keep railing on this is, now people have these bikes that power themselves.
Yeah.
Well, now they have the same rights. And now they have, like, the little, like, what these call mopeds, or, like, half mopeds, where they've been motoring along pretty good. They don't... These are bike owners that don't want to pedal anymore.
Yeah.
they think they have all the same rights.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, now, wait a minute, that thing's not even a bike. It's motorized, and they're going through all the stop signs. I mean, it's the same mentality as the drug company saying, I don't care about no Supreme Court decision. Who gives a crap? Nobody's going to come after me. When's the last time? And yet, all of a sudden, in this country, if we had, you know, 15 uniformed people show up at a Pfizer board meeting and they all walk out in cuffs, people be out. What are we doing? Is this becoming a police state? No, they've been stealing from people for 40 years. It's about time. You know, you and I might say, but then again, that makes us a bunch of old Luddites. So I mean, I don't know what the solution is. I don't see either one of the presidential candidates.
Well, I think the solution starts with redefining what the Fed does, making the debt limit. The Fed should be refocused on just maintaining money growth. That's it.
You know what?
Using some kind of
smooth, but that's not gonna happen, right? The job now is to maintain the wealth bubble. Anybody doesn't see that. But I mean, I think
that's a potential fix, along with making the debt limit an actual hard.
But you're not going to get. I honestly believe, and this is maybe showing that I read too much. I honestly believe that the only way you start is to have a president, and I don't care, young, old, black, white, blue, male, female, they have a president that is above all this crap, so they can essentially say, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
They have to be purer than Pharaoh's wife. And neither one of these two people are. They say, look, I'm not gonna have my Federal Reserve.
Well, the problem with that is nobody is pure as Pharaoh's wife.
Pure as a human can ever be. I mean, you can't have somebody who got there and nobody knows how the hell she got there, and another guy who's a grifter and a con man his whole life. You don't start out like that. I mean, Trump telling me to be moral is like, you know, somebody 450 pounds telling me to go on a diet.
Well, the problem with the political machine is that the people that survive that are not the people that we describe.
Do you think
as
we got a dash up? Do you think we're just getting a reflection of ourselves? We want people that are like that because we're like that.
I think what Trump supporters are saying is they want Trump to be president because they want to flip off the national security state. And I think that attracts a lot of libertarians because libertarians are anti-state and they're enemies of the state, if you will, the bureaucracy. And whoever the national security state sets their eyes on, right? And they've definitely set their eyes on Trump. And I'm not voting for the person. I don't like either candidate, but I'm voting for the team. And I'm voting,
you're voting against the
machine.
You're voting for the least worst.
Well, in a sense, because I don't like either presidential candidate.
Okay, well, there you are.
I'm voting for RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, and Dr. Casey Mays.
I have no idea where this. We'll talk about this next week. I have no idea where this RFK Jr. is coming from. I don't know if I trust him or I don't. Anyway, we'll get a chance to talk about this while everybody's voting next week.
What's that?
I said, we'll get a chance to talk about this next week on Election Day.
Yeah, I mean, Election Day is going to be pretty interesting. And
yeah.
I think if it ends, if they announce the winner that night, Trump's the winner. If the if it drags on 4 or 5 days, even a week, I think Kamala's the winner.
I'm thinking just the opposite on that, but we'll see. I just hope somebody, I don't want to be doing this in Christmas.
Yeah, there's no reason why an election should last longer than Tuesday night. We should
all,
be able to count.
There's all kinds of reasons. Everybody's going to bitch. S&P futures down 11.
The election should be over at 10 o'clock at night.
There are all kinds of reasons.
With our technology today, it should be over at 10 o'clock at night.
It's because somehow or another we're people, and people can fight about anything. S&P futures down 11, S&P futures down 4. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.